Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC. What time it is, man? It's me, your girl POC, host of Revive. We are now live right now. We reviving your airways each and every Sunday with that good Sunday morning talk radio here on Time for an Awakening, man. But you already know you can catch us live on reviveisalive.com. Once again, that is reviveisalive.com. We reviving your airways each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., man. I need you all to tune in and spread the word, spread the message. We are live right now on Time for an Awakening. You can also go to tune in. You can either go to the app or you can go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening to hear Meet Your Girl POC, reviving your airways each and every Sunday. You already know we got that good old winning Wednesday for you guys, man. We missed the winning Wednesday this Wednesday because we was at Philly Fashion Week. Just know we got some good gems that we gonna spread for you guys today, man. Coming from Philly Fashion Week, we really met some amazing designers and some amazing models, man. We're gonna talk a little bit about that this morning, but I definitely need you guys to stay locked to us here on Revive Radio, man. What you gotta do is click that link in my bio to take you directly where you need to be, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Once again, that is reviveisalive.com, reviveisalive.com, and you can follow us Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at @revive_POC. Once again, that's @revive_POC, and when you get to that website, you already know what I need you guys to do, man. Subscribe to that newsletter, that beautiful Revive newsletter that comes out once a month, man. I need you guys to go ahead and subscribe to that, and thank you guys for everybody who has already subscribed, man. It means a lot. We're getting a lot of good feedback from that newsletter. People actually are asking for more, so definitely, man, I appreciate the love, and I appreciate the support each and every day. You already know I got your girl Harmony, the goddess, in the building with me. How you feeling today, Harmony?
I'm feeling well. I'm feeling good. Traffic was crazy getting over here, I guess because of the weather, so up and down, but I'm definitely feeling good. How about yourself?
Man, I'm feeling amazing. I'm blessed and highly favored. Yesterday, I stayed in so I can get a lot of work done, which is something that I really needed to do. I did go out and cover a little bit of media, but I came back in and I was like, yo, this is what I want to do for my day. Like, this is exactly what I want to do for my day. And that's exactly how I spent my day. I spent my day how I wanted to, but I got a lot of work done. I, like, looked up and it was like 8:30. I'm like, oh my god, like, where has the day went already? Like, yo, where's the day going? But I watched this crazy part is I watched this snippet on Instagram about P Diddy, man, brother love, he spread some knowledge. He really can spread some knowledge. If you like filter through all the, you know what I'm saying, all the BS, you can really get something out of that guy. I really bang with P Diddy, Puff Daddy, Sean Diddy Combs, whatever he's calling himself, brother love nowadays, for real, because he's really giving out some gems, man. And one video I watched was way back in the day. It's like, if you really want to get it, you gotta get up and go get it. Like, you gotta get up, you gotta be grinding, you gotta get up at 8 a.m he said, you gotta walk for that cheesecake, you know what I mean, if you really want it. And I'm like, yo, that is honestly the feeling. Like, once you really find out what you want to do in life, it's a burn inside of you that does not stop burning at all. Like, you like, yo, I gotta do whatever I can to put this flame out. But once you do that, more flame just keep coming, because you know that you can keep going, and you feel that, you know, that inspiration inside of you, that motivation inside of you. And speaking of motivation, dog, our Jeremy Seargears from Work or Don't Eat will be blessing the airways today, man. I'm really excited. Work or Don't Eat will be blessing the airways with some motivation today, so I'm really excited to be speaking with him too. But yes, though, Harmony, you got the chance to do what you love to do this weekend. You worked, and you were in your holistic bag, I'm gonna call it. You know what I mean? You wearing your holistic bag all weekend. You did your massage therapy thing. You know what I'm saying? And I want you to share that with the people.
That was very interesting. The holistic bag. I like it. But yeah, so this weekend I had a few new clients that came into the spa, Remedy Spa and Wellness,
We are located on Germantown, and you can definitely check out our website, discoverremedy.com, or you can follow us on social media, which is discover_remedy. And that's on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all the social media platforms. But I had new clients that came in, and what inspires me is that when people get off the table, well, let me start from the beginning. When people come in the door and I sit down, I have a conversation, because usually people are antsy and trying to get out of this chaotic life that we live, right? So when people come in the door, like, they're like panting with their breath, and they're like, oh, I was like rushing to get here. And I'm like, look, let's just take a deep breath. You're here now. And once they calm down, they tell me what they're looking for through this experience, through this massage, through this facial. I actually did 2 facials yesterday. I'm very proud of myself. Ha ha. To my own horn. But when they get off the table and when they're about to leave, and the smile on their face or the expression of them saying, this is exactly what I needed. Whether you're looking for relaxation, whether you're looking for just a peace of mind, whether you're looking for just a time to yourself, just a time to, you know, go to your happy place. And sometimes we don't know how to find that when we're so busy, busy, busy in life, trying to do everything for everybody, and we forget about ourselves. So when you actually take that time and take care of yourself first, it makes a huge difference. And that's what I love, is that I'm making a huge difference in people's lives. So that was very inspiring to me, and I am so blessed, because although I lost my 9-to-5 job, it's like I was blessed to have this talent, this skill, this gift that I'm sharing with the world. And that's what these minutes and these moments that I'm sharing with everyone else. Now I have so much time to practice, so much time to study what I actually love to do. And that's what that's what we're here for, is just doing what we love to do. So I'm excited.
That's a blessing, bro. That's honestly a blessing. Like, and you sound excited. You know what I mean? You were like, yo, let me back it up. Let me let y'all know how I'm really feeling. You know what I'm saying? I don't want to rush my excitement. I want to express it to you in full. Time out. Let me start over. So I'm definitely with you on that one, man. Definitely with you on that one. And shout out to everybody out there who is doing what they love to do. You know what I mean? Because some people don't wake up every day and say, yo, like, I got to go to work. Ugh, you know what I mean? Some people don't wake up every day. Some people wake up every day and be like, yes, I'm about to go to work. I got this to do. I got this to do. And some people just really flat out just be angry. So I'm really excited that you are part of that circle who are able to do what they can do and what they love to do.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's sometimes we forget, like how I mentioned earlier, sometimes we're so focused on taking care of everybody else and taking care of everybody else and doing what everyone else wants us to do, that we forget about what we love to do and what we enjoy doing. So that's very, very important for us to remember that, like, we're in this body 365 days, 24/7. And how are you taking care of that physical body that you're in literally every single day?
No doubt. And that's why we have our special guest coming on today. Work or don't eat. He's definitely going to motivate us all in that right direction of what we need to know of how we can take care of ourselves and why we need to take care of ourselves. And the crazy part is, though, Harmony, some people don't understand why it's a must, why it's a thing, why, you know, you should take care of yourself, why you should change your eating habits and things like that. So that's why you have to continue to be around people who can help you create that space for yourself. And some people don't move on the same type time, you know. I mean, some people can't just watch, you know, What the Health on Netflix and be like, no, stop, I'm no longer eating meat. Some be like, nah, F that, I'm still gonna do me. You know what I'm saying? So it really takes a village. It honestly really takes a village, not to get too deep, but it really takes people holding you accountable, accountability partners, people who can continue to push you at the same time, not necessarily overstepping your own boundaries. You know what I'm saying? You have to want it for yourself. It's one thing first. You have to want it for yourself. And if you don't want it for yourself, you're gonna keep relapsing, as they call it. You're going to keep relapsing and going into the wrong direction. So definitely, man, shout out to you. Being in your holistic bag all weekend, man. Definitely shout out to you, man. That's how I feel when I jump on these airways, when I'm blessing these airways, when I'm reviving these airways, man. I feel like this is me. Like, this is what something that I want to do each and every day. So definitely shout out to everybody who's doing something they love to do, because we all have choices. We all make decisions for ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Once you reach a certain age, it's up to you. And I'm even trying to put an age limit, because there are little kids, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds, that are full-time entrepreneurs right now, just based off their imagination and their parents giving them a chance and a way out to be like, yo, you know what? I'm going to help you build on this imagination.
Exactly. Like, honestly, I feel like we had a guest on here before, and they were referring to how our parents as people, that we're always told, sit down, don't do this, don't talk when you're not spoken to, or stay in a child's place. And it's just like, allow that child to express themselves, because that's exactly what excites their soul. That's exactly what excites their spirit. That's exactly what they love to do. Like, I love to dance. Absolutely. It's like the joy of my life. And so you ever think about a child when they're just like so happy and they're just a lot of energy and they're dancing, like allow them to be in that happy moment. Like, don't crush that for them just because maybe you didn't have that experience. But it, like, I don't know, life is just about expression, and sometimes we don't get that expression sometimes we don't get the opportunity to express ourselves because everybody always puts us in a box. So, yeah.
And sometimes it's not everybody that's putting us in a box. Sometimes we end up putting ourselves in a box, honestly, because we're scared to run towards our fears, or we don't want to be uncomfortable. You know what I mean? Like, people don't like to be uncomfortable. People don't understand that if you can thrive in an uncomfortable situation, you will be limitless. You know what I mean? Like, no one can stop you, because you have been able to master your subconscious and your conscious mind of being uncomfortable in an uncomfortable, in an uncomfortable situation. And I'm not trying to get too deep, you guys, but I'm just saying, like, when you start to become who you are in an uncomfortable situation, I promise you, nothing will ever stop you again.
I mean, I like getting deep, so I'm harmony to the goddess. But so my question is, like, you said sometimes we put ourselves in that box. Sometimes we limit ourselves, which is so true. And it's just like, to me, it's more so like a mindset. So do you think that your surroundings or your environment or other people condition your mindset? Just like, I really want to go see that movie, Get Out. But other people imprison that mindset that you're in. You know, usually you don't automatically put yourself in this box, in this limited space. It's like, oh, I was told not to do this. Oh, I was told that I'm ugly. So, like, that follows you, and you continuously, like, we went to the event in D.C. The event in D.C. with Iyanla Van Zandt, and she was saying how we
for sisters only,
and she kept saying that we keep replaying these tapes in our heads. It's like, do you think these tapes are recorded from the external, and not more so like we create these thoughts and these illusions, of course, but do you think that the surroundings kind of create that first? I guess that's what I'm asking.
No, honestly, I mean, yes, of course. You know what I mean? Because without even knowing, you know, us as people, we become products of our environment.
Right.
And that's just something that we do organically without even understanding or knowing or being aware that we are doing or becoming a part of it, right? Because that's where we are. That's the space that we're in. So we're just adapting like chameleons to whatever we are in at that time. You know what I mean? So I honestly think, yes, it can stem from external, you know, ideas and thoughts and opinions of you. But at the same time, it's an internal feeling, because you have to make that choice. You have to make that decision. You have to make that subconscious and conscious decision to say, you know what, I want to put this into my mental brain. You know, I want to be able to digest this and swallow this, because there's a lot of BS out there. We have the internet. It's something called www, you know what I mean? The World Wide Web. And
and if we believe everything we see, if we, you know, take in everything we see, if we read everything and we say, you know what, that is the truth, that is what it is, we will not have a What's Buzzing segment here on Revive, you know, speaking nothing but the actual factuals, you know what I'm saying?
Stay tuned. We have that TLS Politics coming soon for you guys.
That's around 12 o'clock. Shout out to TLS Politics. But yes, I'm just saying, so it is internal because you have to make that decision for yourself if you want to put that into your brain, if you want to allow that to be something that you adopt, that idea that you adopt, that thought that you adopt, you know what I'm saying? So it is internal. But at the same time, if we don't make that choice for ourselves to say, you know what, I'm not going to do this, I'm going to be okay in this uncomfortable environment, but I'm still going to be myself, then that's something that I'm trying, that's what I'm pretty much trying to describe to you. You will be limitless. No one can do anything to you that you have not already, you know, mapped out in your own head, if that makes sense. I hope I'm making sense, you guys, for real.
It definitely making sense, and, you know, you talked about choices. So give us a call, 215-490-9832. Let us know what your choices are. Let us know what you're thinking. Let us know how your day is going. Speak to us. We want to talk to you. So give us a call. That number again is 215-490-9832.
No doubt. And you already know we got our first guest coming on Revive very shortly. We're going to be speaking with iCare Academy, Philadelphia's very own iCare Academy, man. They just had an amazing event this past February 23rd. They had an amazing event in honor of W.E. Du Bois Day. And it was amazing. They honored some really, really, really dope people in the city of Philly who are making moves, who started their own movement. So I really want you guys to stay locked to that because they are really doing some big things, man. iCare Academy is coming up next here on Revive. But just like she said, we got TLS Politics coming through around 12 o'clock, dropping that actual factual for you guys. So definitely stay tuned. And you already know we got Work or Don't Eat by the Bless These Airways, man. I hope he gets something. I hope he really gets into each and every person who's listening, because the motivation that comes out of this young man is incredible. His story is incredible. He is someone who has beat all kinds of odds, you hear me? So I'm really excited to be listening to his story today. I'm really excited that he's willing to share his story to our listening audience too. So that's really, really dope. So definitely, we're going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, man, we'll be up with our first guest. You already know what time it is, man. It's me, your girl POC. Stay locked to us here on Revive Radio. And you already know you can subscribe to that Revive newsletter at reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com, and definitely follow us Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Revive_POC, man. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. You already know what time it is. It's Meet Your Girl POC.
You're listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
And over that line, I see green fields and lovely flowers and beautiful white women with their arms stretched out to me over that line. But I can't seem to get there no how. I can't seem to get over that line. That was Harriet Tubman in the 1800s. And let me tell you something. The only thing that separates women of color from anyone else is opportunity. You cannot win an Emmy for roles that are simply not there.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time.
About that time.
It's your girl POC.
It is, man. It's me, your girl POC, host of Revive. We reviving your airways, man. Spread the word, spread the message. We reviving your airways each and every Sunday here on Time for the Awakening, man. Make sure you guys click that link in my bio to take you exactly where you need to be. Reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. Tune in each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., man, as we reviving your airways. Once again, each and every Sunday, well, actually, every second and fourth Sunday, we got your boy Keith Taylor coming on from the left side of politics, blessing the airways with some actual factuals, man. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. Shout out to the whole Left Side of Politics team, man. Follow them on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at TLS Politics to stay up on everything that's going on around America right now with the politics. I know it's draining, though, man. It is extremely draining. Like, so much is going on to the point where people just like, yo, turn it off. Turn it off. Just shut the whole thing down, man. Just shut the whole thing down. People are just completely over politics. But it's something that we have to talk about. And it's something that I heard recently. It said it's not new news, it's just the latest news. You know what I'm saying, people? And we have to put this latest news out so you know what's going on. We're trying to just educate you guys and re-educate you. So when it all hits the fan, at least you can say that we here at Revive tried to help you. You know what I'm saying? We here at Revive try to make sure that you understood what was going on around you. So when it's time to do what you got to do, you know exactly how to do it. We just trying to put out them actual factuals for you guys, man. So once again, shout out to TLS Politics. Shout out to the homie Keith Taylor for coming through. But yes, man, I also want to
talk a little bit about Philly's Fashion Week that just happened this past week. It's actually going on. The last show is today. We were able to go to do some media coverage on Wednesday, this past Wednesday. That's why we weren't live here on Time for an Awakening, man. So shout out to everybody who still caught that pre-recorded episode that we played at 8 p.m. But yes, it was amazing. I actually had a dope time. I was actually able to relax. Me and Harmony had front row seats in a press box. I'm like, yo, all right, I'm with it. That was definitely really cool. We got to see everything up front, up in close, and very, very personal. We got to meet a lot of the designers. We got to meet a lot of the models. We actually interviewed some of the models, too, which was pretty, pretty dope. They gave us these comp cards. I'm like, yo, they got everything on there but your horoscope, man. So shout out to the models walking around with the comp cards in their pockets, ready for any opportunity that presents them, man. I think Philly Fashion Week was one to remember this year. They had a lot of amazing designers that came out of the city of Philadelphia, so that was really dope. They didn't reach out, you know, from different areas to put together the fashion show, but it was a lot of other designers that were not from Philly too that did amazing. So definitely, I love some of the shoes that was on there. I love some of the jackets and jean jackets. I was like, yo, I was sending them the eyes in the DMs, like, yo, what's up, man? I'll be on these red carpets. Dress me one time for the one time. You hear me? How did you feel about Philly Fashion Week, though?
It was definitely an amazing experience just observing fashion and how the trends are evolving or recycling, however you look at it. It's like this Philly Fashion Week showed a lot of different techniques, a lot of different layouts with the outfits. It, like, not one designer sound the same. I mean, sound the same.
You definitely said sound the same. You definitely said sound the same. You tripping.
Like sound. But not one designer looked the same for the spring summer line. Not one designer looked the same, but everyone had this goal of just like wowing you or just being an individual. Like each outfit came down a runway and you could just observe like, that aha moment that Oprah always talks about. But it was definitely a great experience. Shout out to some of the designers, Dread Gang, Sarah Cliff, the incubator from Macy's, you know, giving the opportunity for different students and allowing them to follow their passion and their dreams. I mean, so it was definitely, definitely a great experience. And shout out to the front row seats, because that was like, that came in handy. I felt like we are somebody. Hello, shout out to Revive Radio. But it was a great experience, definitely.
It was definitely a great experience, and I agree with you. There was some ahs, but it definitely was some, what was it? Like, what was it? Try it again. Like, you're missing something. You're missing a little stitch or something. You know what I'm saying? Like, what's up with the linen, baby? What's up with the linen? It was definitely some far-fetched ideas, futuristics ideas. Like, I'm just like, yo, like, what was they thinking? I'm tapping you like, yo, bro, like, really? Like, ain't nobody about to wear that. But then I had to understand too, because I was talking to the I can't remember your name right now, but we were talking to the lady from Macy's, because I don't want to keep calling her the lady, but we were talking to the lady from Macy's who had the incubator, who was doing the incubator program for the students there. And she was telling me, because I asked her that question, and she was telling me pretty much that when it comes to fashion, it's all about your visions. And I'm like, yo, that's literally my mantra for this year. Views versus vision. And it's like, it's how you view it versus their vision. You know what I'm saying? And I'm like, yo, you're talking my language, because I completely understand, because that's how I feel about how I'm trying to do, you know, my entire brand of Revive. It's views versus vision. So I completely understand. But definitely when they walked down that runway, my views did not match up to their vision, because I was like, yo, what were they thinking? But when she broke that down to me, she had me understand that you have to build an idea. You have to build a concept with fashion. You know what I mean? Because everybody wears clothes. You need to wear clothes each and every day, right? Well, that's what it should be, right? Because some people believe you can't walk around naked all day, too. So
If I had the choice, I would, but it's against the law.
That's what I'm saying.
Fashion's always going to be in.
That's what I'm saying, right? So, but anyway, she just pretty much was trying to break it down to me that you have to build a concept. You have to build a vision so people can understand when they view what you're doing, they can understand the vision that you were trying to put together for the line or for this. And fashion is all about how you create it. It's how you feel it. It's your mood. You know what I'm saying? You wake up, it's an expression, it's a mood. So you wake up and it depends on how you feel that day is what you put on. You know what I mean? Right now we in hoodies and sweatpants, you know, but in a couple hours we're going to be in dresses and lipstick. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot going on. It really just depends on the mood and where you are at that time. So she really broke that down. And that's something I knew before, but like getting into the fashion world, doing this media is just like, yo, what are they thinking? You know, cause we have to interview these people. So I really want to understand, and me doing that little quick tidbit with her really helped me understand the fashion game a little bit more. So when we jump out there this spring and this summer for the fashion lines that's coming out, I'm definitely going to be ready on a whole nother level because I now fully understand, not fully understand it, but I got a piece of advice for someone who has been doing fashion for about 20, 25 years. And you actually, let's talk about fashion. You actually graduated with a bachelor's degree in fashion merchandising management. But like, what you doing with it, baby? Like, what's up with it? And I'm calling you out because I just want to know what's up.
You're always calling me out, POC. She loves putting people on the spotlight. So, you know, if you come on to Revive Radio, whether you come on Sunday, Monday, or Wednesday, because we are live 3 days throughout the week, check out the website, www.reviveisalive.com, for more information, the news story, the newsletter, donating, just different opportunities. But to get back to your question. So
definitely was a nice spin. I appreciate that. Yeah, I like that.
I did that little plug. But okay, so yes, I did graduate with a bachelor's degree in fashion merchandising and management. And what I'm doing for it, it's connecting. It's connecting the dots. Honestly, I feel like sometimes some people go to school not knowing what they want to do in life. And then, you know, so they take a major, which they're interested in, which they love to do, not knowing the outcome of things. And when they get out of school, it's like, well, what was it? Like, what am I supposed to do with this now? So for me, it's all connecting the dots with the massage therapy, which I am so passionate about right now. Yeah, right now, because that's all I can speak about is the present moment. But I feel like the management classes that I took in school with the fashion merchandising management, the merchandising is all connecting now. It's not necessarily in fashion, but it's in business. So I ran a whole studio this whole weekend at Remedy Spa and Wellness. That was management skills. That was merchandising skills. Setting up my table, setting up the, you know, the displays of everything, like connecting with people, talking to people. So it's like you take different things that you learn in school and you apply it to your own life of how you apply it to. It doesn't have to be 1, 2, 3, ABC. It doesn't have to be exactly in the order because shit's not going to work out. Sorry for cursing y'all in the morning. I'm sorry. But it's not going to be exactly how you envisioned it or planned it to be because God has another detour for you. God has another plan for you. And it is okay that it doesn't work out the same way that you thought it was. But at the end of the day, it's working out. So when you see the bigger picture, it's like, oh, this class did come in handy. Oh, shit, why the hell did I take that class? You know, like, so right now it's working itself out and it's connecting the dots. No matter what I do, no matter what I'm choosing to do, I'm using my gifts and I'm sharing it with the world. And I'm taking what I did learn and what I did grasp from school and applying it to any type of business that I enter in. And, yeah, that's kind of how I'm feeling right now.
So my question to you after all that, right? Do you explain that to your loan provider when they call you every month looking for a payment? Like, what? I don't want to hear all that. But I hear you, though. What you said was definitely actual and very factual. But at the same time, nah, bruh, nah.
So with my loan officer, look, I'm a different person every time I call. Look, she changed her number. You want the...
Facts, man. Facts, man. Shout out to all the loan providers that's calling, knowing they not about to get a payment. Ah, you mad again. It's like, nah.
Shout out to that $0 payment, because that's coming in handy also. So definitely, definitely, I would not say, I do not support not paying your loans, but look, times is hard. But also just stay in contact with them to let to see what can you do and see if they can work with you.
Definitely, man. But shout out to all of fashion merchandising and management undergrads right now, or even graduate students that are trying to step into that lane, because the fashion world is definitely a lane of its own. It's creating so many, you know, limitless boundaries. That's my vocab word today, limitless. I keep using it, right? But yes, it's creating a lot of limitless boundaries for you guys, because the views and the opinions of the spectators no longer exist. You see what I'm saying? No longer exist in the fashion world, because your vision is really bigger than how people view you right now in fashion, because you can do anything and people are wearing it. Like, let's just think about it. You know, men are wearing skin tight jeans, you know, women are dressing, you know, in big old t-shirts, looking like it's a dress. You know, it's so many different things that you can do nowadays when it comes to fashion, and not, people are not passing judgment on you. People are allowing you to be yourself. People are allowing you to be a creator. People are allowing you to honestly just walk in your purpose, walk in your being. So yes, when it comes to fashion right now, man, it is a limitless sport. It is a limitless game. Go ahead and do you. Be as creative as possible. Honestly, be yourself, man. And that's definitely something that I learned this past Wednesday doing media coverage for Philadelphia Fashion Week. And shout out to Philadelphia Fashion Week for getting reviving a building that day. It was definitely a blessing, and y'all gave us front row seats, so I was definitely with it. Shout out to Philly Fashion Week, and definitely shout out to Geo Global Management as well, because they helped us do that. They helped us be a part of that, so that definitely was a really big one for us, man. We're definitely waiting on our first guest to come through. Once again, that is Eye Care Academy. They should be blessing the airways soon here on Revive, man. Make sure you guys stay tuned. We are going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we should be up with our first guest. If not, you already know your boy Keith Taylor coming through from the left side of politics. He going to be blessing the airways each and every second and fourth Sunday. So make sure you guys stay tuned and follow them right now on TLS Politics at Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
And definitely give us a call. That number again, I'm going to keep replaying it in your ear. 215-490-9832. You got a shout out. You want to say how you're doing. You got a comment about what we were speaking about. Anything. Engage into this conversation. This is what Revive Platform is for, definitely, to connect and start different conversations. So call this number, 215-490-9832. Feel froggy today and freaking leap, okay? Life is about limitless opportunities, and you are a limitless being. So call this number again. It's 215-490-9832. And back to you, POC.
You funny. And how you gonna take my vocabulary word? After I stamped it, it's supposed to be me. I'm supposed to be able to create and multiply that word 100 times today while we blessing these airways and reviving these airways for the people.
Your thoughts are not your own.
My thoughts are not my own, bruh. Tab tells me that all the time. That is definitely a fact, man. You already know what time it is, man. It's me, your girl, POC. We about to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we're going to be up with our next guest, or we're going to be up with your boy, Keith Taylor, from the left side of politics. It's me, your girl, POC. Tune in. Spread the word.
Father, brother, husband, friend, When was the last time you got a checkup? Did you know black men are 2.6 times more likely to die from stomach cancer than white men?
Black men are 2.3 times more likely to die from prostate cancer.
Black men are 4 times more likely to die by suicide than black women.
Did you know that less than half of Americans with a mental disorder seek treatment? But the proportion of blacks who seek treatment is half that of whites.
We can do better. We have to do better.
Because we need you.
I need you.
To be healthy.
To be safe. To stay alive.
Visit your local doctor. Get a checkup. And if you're suffering from depression, please seek professional intervention.
We're counting on you.
Live.
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 Congratulations. You've just been accepted.
I posted on my wall.
No, it didn't even show up in my news feed.
Man, I'm done with social media. All the injustice and brutality going around, and it's like they're trying to suppress our voice. We're trying to get the message out there, and you can't even share empowerment and what's going on around the country either.
Nah, don't be dumb with social media, though. It's a tool, and there is a place where we have a voice. It's a Let's Buy Black 365 social network. You do anything you would on any other social network. Post pictures, videos, status updates, share resources and community news. But on Let's Buy Black 365, it's a platform for us and by us to tell our messages.
Whoa, that's like a digital underground railroad.
What's the name of that site again?
It's letsbuyblack365.com.
Yeah, I heard about that. It's all about networking, and you get points, right?
Yeah, the more you network, post, and share, the more points you get. Plus, you get points for posting pictures, sharing information, attending community events, and inviting others to network with you on the app.
Wow, that's all I need to know. I'm gonna go download that app right now.
Now, better yet, let me invite you so I can get some points. It's all about empowerment and solutions, y'all.
Yeah, that's what's up. I'm all in.
Let's do it. Let's share our stories.
Let's buy black365.com.
Put things down. Look up. You're missing stuff. What is the long-term effect of too much information? We don't know, but we're finding out. I know in my country, the polarization of the electorate, a mean-spiritedness. We've gone from radio presidents to television presidents to internet presidents to BlackBerry presidents to a tweet Twitter president. Where are we going? And I'm not just knocking that man. I'm talking about all of us. Can you put it down? Are you using it or is it using you? And where is it leading you? And I'm not telling you, oh, I'm against the establishment and all of that. I'm telling you, at least ask yourselves, what is the long-term effect of too much information? What is it doing to me? Is there a need for 24 hours a day news? Is there 24 hours a day worth of news? Or is it opinion news?
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. All I need is one mic. You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC.
Time it is, man. It's me, your girl POC, host of Revive. We reviving your airways all the way up until 1 p.m. today, man. So you already know I need you guys to continue to spread that word, spread that message. Reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com. You can click that link in my bio, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And while you're on there, make sure you guys leave us a comment, man. Leave us a comment, double tap, whatever it may be. We definitely want to engage with you guys on all platforms, social media, and while we here reviving your airways live, man. Like Harmony the Goddess keep telling you guys each and every morning, call in 215-490-9832. That hotline number is 215-490-9832. Make sure you use that emergency contact number while we revive in your airways, man. And speaking of Revive, right? Revive is growing and evolving into something that is completely bigger than me and your girl Harmony the Goddess. So we are calling out for help. We need some new bloggers. We're looking for some freelance photographers. We're looking for some freelance journalists. We are looking for people who are ready to step in the arena and get it done. You know what I mean? We are looking for people who are ready to help us keep Revive alive. So you know what we need you guys to do? Hit us up at revive.poc@gmail.com. If you are a freelance blogger, a freelance photographer, a freelance journalist, we are looking for you. We need you to come on this Revive platform and help us get that word, help us get that message, help us get that FUBU, man. That information for you, by you. We need you guys, man. So definitely come and bless us. Once again, that is revive.poc@gmail.com. We are trying to expand the team each and every day. And if you feel like you are somebody that can help us do that, hit us up right now, man. Definitely hit us up. Don't be shy. Definitely hit us up right now. And speaking of reviveisalive.com, too, we just put up our new news story for the week, too. Once again, we just put our new news stories up on reviveisalive.com. We need you guys to go check that out right now. We're going to be talking a little bit about one of the news stories that we post with your boy Keith Taylor when he gets on the hotline today, man. The FCC voted to is voting to repeal the net neutrality rule now that it has finally became official. So that is going to be something that we're going to speak on, because not a lot of people know what net neutrality is. They just know that the government is trying to control the internet, but they don't know exactly why they're trying to control it and how much profit they're going to make off controlling, and how many companies are actually not with the government controlling the internet, because that's taking away our freedom of speech, you know, something that is part of the amendment, our amendment rights. So we definitely want to talk about that here on Revive. Also, man, this is something that I've been talking about for years now. They're finally calling out the NCAA, man. College Hoops corruption case is now underway. You guys can check that out at reviveisalive.com. So these college coaches are accepting bribery, they're accepting deals, they're accepting sponsorships, under these student athletes who are technically not allowed to sign deals, who are not allowed to have agents, who are not allowed to, you know, be sponsored by any company until they become professional athletes. Right now in college, at an NCAA level, they're supposed to be amateur athletes. And these college coaches are exploiting them. So they're now starting to call them out. So I'm really excited about that, man. This is going to be something that's going to change the game. And shout out to LeVar Ball for putting some heat under that ass. And I'm not saying LeVar Ball is the reason why this is happening. I'm just saying LeVar Ball is changing the game and creating his own lane. That's why I'm giving him props. But this is putting some heat under the NCAA ass, because now they got to backtrack a whole lot of BS that is about to come out. So this is something that's really dope. So I need you guys to check that out as well at reviveisalive.com.
And then also when Keith comes through, you know me, I got to talk about what's going on right here in the city that we are blessing right now, Philadelphia. Philadelphia's new district attorney, Larry Krasner, ends cash bail for low-level offenses, which is huge, which is honestly major, which is the reason why he was voted into office today, because he's going to do something that is going to impact the entire city of Philadelphia in a good way, in a very, very good way. So definitely shout out to the new district attorney of Philadelphia, Larry Krasner, for making that law, putting that into place, putting that legislation out there for to know that you are for us, by us. Definitely, you are for us, by us, and you're putting out that good knowledge that we need. So definitely shout out to the new DA. We're definitely going to be talking about that too. We're going to read some. I'm going to read some for you guys, some of the offenses that are no longer part of the cash bail. You got DUIs, you got forgery, you got identity theft, you got possession of marijuana, you got possession to deliver, you know, marijuana under 5 pounds, whatever it may be. It's a lot of different things. Resisting arrest, retail theft, theft of a motor vehicle, theft by a unlawful traffic ticket. Don't we know too much about that? We know a lot about that. Traffic tickets, right? They taking people to jail for traffic tickets, y'all. I did not know people really go to jail for I thought they just take your car, you know what I'm saying, suspend your license. I did not know they out here putting people in jail off of traffic tickets. That is too much, man. That is too much. Driving is a privilege. Just take away the privilege. Don't take away my life. What is wrong with you guys?
Because, like, I'm thinking, like, so you going to jail, what is that even solving? That's just making them more money. And it's just like it's no solution to you taking me to jail because maybe I just mistakenly did that yellow light and I tried to make it across or something. I don't know the situation, but different traffic.
I plead the fifth.
I don't know nothing. I didn't see anything. Look, officer, I'm just trying to get home.
I'm colorblind, baby. That thing look, I can't see. It's just a lot of colors. It's just a lot of colors. They talking about I'm colorblind. It's a lot of colors, right? Oh, my goodness.
Do you think that works? Like, if you say, like, you're colorblind?
We're going to try it the next time. It's like, nah, hopefully there's no next time. I'm definitely playing, you guys. I do not want to run into no law officials ever, ever, ever. But definitely here's some great news, too, that we put on reviveisalive.com under our news and press section, too. Tiffany Haddish becomes the first black woman to host Movie and TV Awards. Shout out to Tiffany Haddish, man. She is, she's like the first black woman to becoming the first black woman to doing all the first black woman stuff. You hear what I'm saying? Like, Tiffany Haddish is checking all the boxes, man. She's that first black woman to do all the first black woman things. I'm so happy for her right now, right? She is killing the game, and that really just reminds me of Monique. Oh my God. Like, I did not want to bring this up, but it just so happens that the information is going into it, right? Yo, Tiffany Haddish is really one of, she's really one of a kind. She's a unicorn, honestly. When she says she's a unicorn, she's really in unicorn mode right now. She's really one of a kind. She's really kicking down doors and creating her own lane, right? And then on the other hand, you got Monique, who is up here trying to explain why, you know, us as African-American women, we don't have the same opportunities, which I can agree with her because I am in the media game. So I do agree with her. We don't have all the open doors. We don't. Like, we literally have to bust down the door. We knock first, then we bang, we may kick a little bit. Then after a while, if you don't hear my kick, I'm just coming through blasting. What Tupac say? You know what I'm saying? So yes, I agree with what she's saying, that we do not have the same opportunities. We do not get the same opportunities. But this is something we have known for a very, very long time, that we have not been given the same opportunities. Black women are literally last to be counted on every poll, completely last, every time. We are always at a lower ranking than any other, you know, whatever they're trying to, you know, put out there, whatever race, ethnicity, whatever. We as African-American women, we have a double standard. Why? Because one, we are women first. Two, we are black. Well, it's not a first thing. It's we're women and we're black all at the same time, right? So that is a double standard. I completely understand. But that is not the reason that you should feel that you should get a $500,000 check from Netflix because Amy Schumer and Dave Chappelle and Chris Rock and all of them got that. No, Monique, when you said, and yo, I put this all on Instagram, like, I had a lot to say, honestly, truly, but my point I'm just trying to make is, like, I agree with Charlamagne. What have you done lately? What are you doing right now? You can put your resume on the table, like, you keep talking about this long list of resume that you have, but your resume does not consist of comedy. Your resume does not consist of you being funny. Your resume does not consist of you making jokes right now. Like I said in my long rant that I went on Instagram, is that the last movie you put out was Roscoe's Jenkins, which starred Martin Lawrence. And that was back, I believe, in 2008 when you put that movie out. That was your last titled comedy movie. It is now 2018. That's 10 years ago. What have you done lately? If we go on your, first off, I didn't even know Monique had an Instagram until she did the Netflix boycott thing, right? And that's how irrelevant she is. And I'm not trying to say she's not relevant, but irrelevant right now. You know what I'm saying? So
I think it's just
irrelevant. I definitely said irrelevant. It's definitely irrelevant. I said it a lot with a lot of passion, too. Thank you, Harmony. Woo! She is irrelevant. I said irrelevant. I did. My bad. So, yes. So, she is irrelevant. She's definitely irrelevant as of right now. Like, what has she done right now? And if you look at her Instagram, because I definitely did my scooping around, and she's just on there talking about her weight loss. Like, everything, just her getting her in her holistic bag, which is amazing because she's changing her life. She's changing her life around. And she's letting us see how she's changing her life around, right? And, yo, she kept calling her husband daddy on the interview. She kept saying daddy, like, hold on, daddy. Can I talk, daddy? Like, yo, I was like, if she said that one more time, but you want us as black women to stand up and be liberated, but you going on live air, because it's radio for real, but they just record it, but you going on live radio and you saying daddy? Like, you putting out two double-crossing contradiction-ass messages right there. Why are you calling your husband daddy? Like, I don't ever get that. Like, I would never get that. Like, ever, ever, ever.
I mean,
I have one father. And today is actually my father's birthday. So definitely happy Earth Day birthday to my father. Yes, my dad is my dad's birthday. Yeah, he took another lap around the universe today. So definitely shout out to my dad. Definitely. If he's listening, definitely happy birthday to you. And I love you.
I mean, the only thing that I can say about that is just, maybe that could just be kept in the home, in the bedroom. Like, because I believe a lot of people out there may be like, hey, daddy. You know?
That's different, though. That's right, different. Right, that's more different. In a seductive kind of way. Yeah, they were in a business. They were in a business interview, whatever you want to call it, and she's calling him daddy on the phone. Like, he's not even sitting next to her. Like, he's on the phone during the interview, and she's like, daddy, daddy? Like, just no. Like, that's just a contradiction of a message that she was putting out. One, she's trying to uplift and innovate us as African-American women, and then at the same time, I feel like she was taking away from us by calling this man daddy on air. Like, just like, no. But anyway, back to the whole problem.
Tiffany Haddish, because she is definitely doing her thing. She is definitely a unicorn. So getting back to the positive of the situation.
But we still got to shed light on this Monique story, because Monique really think that she's supposed to be getting $500,000 for something that is just not, she has no facts to why she deserves this. And I believe when she went on there with the intention, like, her intention was to sway our perception, but it really was just like, no. And she actually made me a little bit more frustrated with her based on, like, her characteristics and how she's handling herself. It's just like, no, Mo, like, just no, like, really, just really, Mo, just how you was doing it, like, yes, baby, come on, baby, just a bit. Like, it was just a lot, honestly, truly. It was, I just felt like she was acting as she was being interviewed at the same time. She kept taking her glasses on and off, like, it was, and even the questions that, like, Angela Yee asked her a really good question, like, but there are other people who speak on you just being someone that is very difficult to work with. How come every time you go work with somebody, somebody's talking about you in a negative light, but you're just this so positive person? And if I'm wrong, I really want to hear from you guys. Call me out. Mo, call me right now. 215-490-9832. Like, I really want to know this. Like, what is really going on? Because something about her is off if everyone is complaining about her.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was just about to say. That, like, never mind her characteristics or who she is as a person, because you can't change that. You know, at the end of the day, people are going to be who they are going to be. And that's what it is. Shout out to TLS Politics coming up soon with the actual factuals. But with Monique, it's just more so like, what have you done? And why is your rep saying that you're difficult to work with, or you are not creating these opportunities that you seem to seek for yourself. You seem to feel as though you deserve, which, I mean, you should feel that you deserve the greatest. But at the same time, you have to look at, what are you bringing to the table?
No doubt. What are you bringing to the table? And last thing I want to say about this, because I definitely want to get into it with TLS, but she talked about her last movie that she did was Almost Christmas. And this came out in 2016. But if you look at the roster that was on Almost Christmas, it was with Gabrielle Union. Like, she had nothing but stars in that lineup with her. And that's why that movie pulled in that amount of profit. It wasn't just because Monique was in that movie. You had a gang of people in that movie that helped you to deliver that content, that helped you to deliver that, you know, whatever message you guys were putting out in Almost Christmas. So don't try to make it seem like that is the one, like that's the one that we need to be thinking about. That's the one that's only been 2 years. No, Mo, like that wasn't just you. You had DC Young Fly. You had Gabrielle Union. You had so many different people in there who have their own lanes that helped you pull in that amount of profit. So that's another thing that I just couldn't find as super valid to make her point, because Charlamagne kept saying, like, yo, how can you justify the fact that you deserve this $500,000? And she keeps talking about her resume. Let's think about it. The award and accolade that she won for Precious was a drama categorized movie. So it's not the same. If Netflix is calling you on a stand-up, that is comedy, i.e. stand-up comedy, not i.e. stand-up drama. Let's make sense, Mo. That's all I'm saying.
That's a good point. That's a definitely a good point. But also what I heard from you is just, like, she keeps comparing herself to other people. You know what I'm saying? And it's just, like, you're not in that same lane, or you're not on that, like, that door is not open for you if you can continuously keep comparing your job or anything to someone else, because they're not basing that on that. They're not basing the movies and the comedy that you were in when there's other big time stars there. So
definitely. And I got one more point. I know I got one point. I said it's the last one, but my other point I wanted to make too, because you have to understand, Netflix is a streaming service. Netflix is something that you have to, like, literally go onto the internet to do. And let's just think about her audience, right? Monique is 50 years old. So think about the audience that shift with her. So I just want to, I'm not even going to try a player. Like, let's just say,
she looks good for 50. I'm just going to.
She looks amazing for 50. That's why she's in her holistic bag. She's changing her life around. I gave her props for that, right? But let's just say her audience is anywhere between the ranges of 45 and 60 years old. How many of them own a Netflix account? Let's talk about it. How many of them own, like, how many of them have Netflix downloaded on their phone right now? How many of them have Netflix downloaded on their iPad? Let's talk about it. You're not about to make Netflix no money. You're not. Your audience is not on the streaming services like that. They're still hype about cable TV. They're hyped that they can record their shows. They're still stuck on that. You know what I mean? They're still stuck on the little things that make them happy. They're not excited about Netflix and Hulu and all these other streaming services and packages that come. You know what the crazy part is? My mom has Netflix and Hulu, and she didn't even know it. It came in her cable package. They don't even know they have it half the time. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how do you really feel? Like, how do you honestly, truly, truly, really feel, right? But definitely, man, shout out to The Breakfast Club. I really feel like they could have went in on Monique, but they held their composure. They did their thing. Shout out to Solomon the God. I appreciate what he did. He just kept asking the same question. Like, you still have yet to answer this question when it comes to justifying why you deserve $500,000 from Netflix, honestly. But, man, besides all that, we about to get into these actual factuals with your boy Keith Taylor from the Left Side of Politics. Yo, Keith, I see you out there, man. Let's get into it. What's buzzing coming up next here on Revive?
What's buzzing? Lost in a world full of words, or a combination of which enters me. On to rants such as what's buzzing. What's amazing is what a large world this is. Today in this world, we are either talking about the something, the no thing, and what's buzzing. Current events, let's talk about it. You have an opinion, let's talk about it. What's buzzing?
On the Left Side of Politics. Hey, Keith, how you feeling today, man?
What up, Ben?
What it do, Keith, man? I'm excited to be back on the airways with you. How you feeling? What part of the country are you in today?
Man, I'm just chilling in China right now, you know. Nah, I'm in LA.
Okay, awesome, awesome, man. Keith, it's a lot going on, man. It's been a lot going on these past couple weeks, man. What's going on? What you got for us today?
What you want to talk about first? We got the NRA giving out awards. We got net neutrality being repealed. North Korea wants to sit at the table with the United States and South Korea. Like, we got things going on across the globe, man.
Definitely. But before we get started with all that negativity, But before we get started with all that, Keith, you already know. I need you to go ahead and introduce yourself to let the people know exactly who they're talking to.
Hey, everybody. My name is Keith Taylor, co-founder of TLS Politics. And we are a political blog that is giving you what we'd like to call factuals. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at TLS Politics. You can follow us on Twitter at TLS Politics _. We do questions of the day on Facebook and Instagram. And we like to challenge the current way of thinking so we can get everybody's response and have intellectual debates. So follow us on Facebook and Instagram at TLS Politics. And follow us on Twitter at TLS Politics _.
No doubt, no doubt. And Keith, what was one of the question of the days you guys had this week? What was one of the question of the days that got a lot of buzz?
We did a poll on Thursday, and it asked, like, what do you think right now should be the number one objective of America? And it was sanctions on North Korea, mental health care, gun laws, net neutrality, Trump care, taxes. Like, what do you think the biggest thing is? And a lot of them got pretty good responses. So some voted for North Korea, some voted for healthcare in America, some voted for taxes, some voted for economic change. So across the board, general consensus.
And what did you pick, though? What did you think?
I think sanctions on North Korea is the biggest one. I mean, outside of domestic problems, North Korea is the biggest threat to America. And that's one of the things these ladies.
I definitely agree with you.
North Korea, yeah, and guns.
I was about to say, I agree with you on that. I said, like, I'm tied between North Korea and the gun control because at the same time, you know what I'm saying, we're going to need a little bit of that to handle that. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's like a win-win, lose-lose with both of them, for real, for real. Like, it's like if you take away the guns, then we cannot defend ourselves. But if we don't focus our attention onto North Korea, you know what I mean, we might miss what's going on and why we still need our guns. So, definitely, I agree with you on that one.
Right.
Man, definitely.
Yeah. So I completely agree.
Before we drain them with the Donald Trump and the South Korea and all that, I definitely want to inform the people about the net neutrality thing that's going on, because that's something that just happened on Thursday. Actually, they just made it they finalized it on Thursday. So now people are out here trying to, you know, backtrack and sue them. So this actually cannot happen. So can you go shed a little bit of light on what you know about the net neutrality and the FCC?
So the net neutrality came about when President Obama was president back in April of 2015. And what he did was reclassify the internet as essentially a public good, and that public goods can't be regulated, such as water, electricity, trash, sewer, things like that, based on how much you pay. It should be a flat rate across the board, so that no matter if you make $10 million a year or no matter if you make $20, you essentially have the same access to the same content. It's not based on how much you pay. So before that, the internet was looked at essentially a good or service that, depending on how much you pay, is determined what you get, essentially, as everything else is. So President Obama decided that the internet should be open for everybody. Even the person who created the web, he created it for everybody to have access to access certain content. Now, before sort of what companies did, as AT&T, Verizon, things like that, they did what you call the stratum in your service. So let's say if you're looking at certain sites, so let's say if there were sites that they didn't want you to look at, they would essentially throttle back your service. So let's say you pay for 50 megabytes internet, which is pretty fast. They would then, if you went to a site, let's say Verizon, which is their competitor, and let's say you had a Verizon phone and you were just checking your phone contract, they could essentially slow the speeds of how fast VerizonWireless.com loaded. So these companies were throttling that speed in order to make you pay for higher speeds or higher services. So, like you said, 2015, President Obama passed that law where it was essentially illegal, and all telecommunications companies had to treat the internet as a public good. So there should be no more throttling. There should be no more restricting access to certain content. Well, now that has essentially been completely repealed, and now internet companies can charge whatever they want for certain services. So let's say if Twitter, Facebook, social media is your thing, then internet service providers or telecommunications companies can essentially charge you this amount for you to have this access to load this content. Because now, where we play a flat rate, let's say $60 for 50 megabytes per second, we can look at whatever we want. Now, that could either stay at $60 and you still get access to all these contents, or you may have to buy a higher package in order to access the content that you like to see. The biggest opposition is that these telecommunication companies would have been catered to the wealthy, where you only get access to everything on the web if you can pay for it. Now, how much does that cost? Is that $120, $130 a month just for internet, for me to be able to access everything that's on the internet that I need? Or does that stay at its current price of $60, $70, whatever it has been? And that people who are in poverty or who live in inner city neighborhoods who don't see the same benefits that these telecommunication companies have improved in, let's say, the suburbs of Washington, D.C., where you may see 4K or like 1,000 bits, megabytes per second, or streaming services that allow you to get 4K, where these inner cities only have access to 5, 10, 50 megabytes per second. Now, the telecommunications on the opposite end, we're saying that,
I want to slow you down because you are a wealth of knowledge, my guy. And I really fucking love that shit, for real, right?
Hey, throttle me back like the internet company.
Because I really want to break this down. All right, so first, you broke down a piece. And so pretty much just to break it down. So right now, net neutrality is something that Obama put in place that did not regulate the amount of internet usage a person used per day, right?
Yeah, so he essentially, President Obama reclassified the internet from being a public good, from being a public utility. Yes.
Okay, so from being a public good to a public utility. All right, bet. So then what the FCC is trying to do now is they're trying to regulate it to the point where they can control it based on your usage or based on the speed of the internet.
What essentially, they aren't regulating it anymore. So before, it was regulated as this is now a public utility. The FCC has repealed that, and then is now back to a good service where telecommunications companies can now charge you for basic speeds or packages. So now they can control which you look at and how fast it loads. So take Netflix, for example. Verizon, if whatever your cable, whatever your internet package is, let's say you have 25 megabytes, right? Before, you would be able to stream Netflix with no problem, no buffering, no loading, no nothing. Now what can happen is Verizon can essentially slow down your service if you are a frequent user of Netflix in order to make you buy a faster service that would then stream Netflix without buffering. So that is now what is happening.
Wow. So pretty much, but how does this make the FCC richer? I think this makes the companies richer, become monopolies, right? Like such as Verizon and AT&T and Comcast, all these people. So how does this play out for the FCC? Like how does this help them out?
I mean, it helps them out because then now, I mean, you figure donations that they made, individuals who are in these seats or who hold these federal government positions, they may see more donations or kind of contributions. And then it also, as you know, everything goes back to money and politics. This can start to see greater influence in decision-making in Washington. So that's more of a contributional side, not really helping the FCC out as a whole.
Okay.
Because it's a government entity.
With the net neutrality, can they
censor what you want to find out or what you want to watch or, you know, the information that you're trying to look up, they can censor that too?
Yeah. So that was the thing, is that with net neutrality, these companies could not regulate, or they couldn't tell what you couldn't look at. So anything that was on the World Wide Web, we can pull up, right? Now, with this new, with deregulation of net neutrality, these companies can go and essentially restrict what you look at. Now, that may be extreme cases of that happening, or that may not happen at all, but it's the possibility that that's there. And that's one of the things of why people were arguing against, is that, well, how can you tell me what I can't look at? And one of the senator from Minnesota, Democratic Senator, he said this is like the First Amendment of our time, is that us going on the web and us looking at content is free speech, regardless of whatever we wanted to look at.
Facts.
So, yeah.
I agree with that. It's definitely freedom of speech, because let's just think about, you know, the BS websites like Wikipedia. You know what I mean? Wikipedia is a website designed for freedom of speech, because you can honestly go on there and create whatever you want to create on Wikipedia. You know what I'm saying? So I agree with that. That is definitely taking away our freedom of speech, because the internet, whether we're saying it verbally or written, we're writing it, it's still the same thing as freedom of speech. So that's definitely something that I want to look a little bit more into. I just want to ask one last question on this situation. So, like, what about for everyone now that it has become finalized, everyone is trying to sue them. Everybody's trying to sue the FCC so it can be repealed again. So how is that going to work out for us as citizens?
I think it depends on the outcome of the case. I mean, we can sue them, but this has now been a law that was passed. So I know one of the people, one of the judges, he filed against the order, saying that this is unconstitutional. So I think once this gets taken up to the Supreme Court and then eventually they make a decision on it, at this present moment in time, that is currently the way things are going to be. Now, how drastic of a change they're going to make immediately remains to be seen. But I think the whole suing and issuing process, it reaches the Supreme Court and they make a decision, then that will essentially become the law of the land. So I think that whole process has some time before we actually see any fruits of the labor or any results of that.
I think that's going to be one that's going to be a huge game changer. I think this is something that we're going to be talking about for a very, very long time when it comes to this FCC, because you have to understand that everyone works and runs off the internet. Everyone, you know, everything is digitalized now. Everything is on the World Wide Web. You know what I'm saying? Everything has a www in front of it at this point. So it's just like, how are they going to really get away with this one? Honestly, how are they really going to get away with this one? And how is this going to affect us as citizens? Because honestly, how many people can afford $100 and whatever many dollars on just the internet? We're already paying that much for a cell phone bill. We're already paying that much for a cable bill. So someone's going to lose out. You know what I mean? Some business is going to get affected by this, because, like you said, it's now once again a service. So it's going to get affected in so many different ways. So I definitely think that this is something we're going to be talking about for a very long time. Even let's think about with college. You know what I mean? Like, so what are they going to do with the millions of students that are in college right now that actually need the World Wide Web to be running on a very very fast paced speed? You know what I'm saying? So this is definitely going to be one for the books. This is definitely going to be one for the books. And also, I wanted to talk a little bit about the DA, the Philly DA. Were you able to look up a little bit about what the new DA in Philly did?
Yeah, you know he's taking after one of the best cities in the nation, I'm just saying. But so that was, I think that's pretty a good step forward. So what he did, for all the people who don't know, is that recently, now, if you are a nonviolent offender in the city of Philly, you no longer have a bail. So before, because of course you have a cash bail and things like that, depending on what your crime was. Now he said no bails for people who commit nonviolent crimes. So, and that comes from, of course, Washington, D.C., who has a similar policy where if it's a nonviolent crime, there isn't any bail for you to get out of jail and things like that.
That's actually a really big one, though, Keith. Like, I really think that's really big, because if you think of the city of Philadelphia and how many people who are incarcerated who come out of the city of Philadelphia is really big. And a lot of people who are just sitting in the cells or holding cells, whatever it may be, because they're unable to afford these cash bails. You know what I'm saying? Like, there was something like, you know, people who do food stamp identity theft. They were sitting in jail for like $2,000 just to make bail for two grand. You had people who traffic tickets, you know what I mean, sitting in jail for traffic tickets. People who retail theft, you know, somebody stole something out of Target, they sitting in jail for a couple grand too. Like, so I think this is really big. I think this is going to be major, and I hope that a lot of district attorneys around all the cities in the world actually take advantage of this and see how this can actually help and change. Because most people who fall under this cash bail situation is people that look like me and you, because we don't have the money to put up. We don't have, you know, the house to put a lien on. We don't have the car to sell to go get this money to get our people out. You know what I'm saying? So, and definitely when it's like super low offenses, like retail theft, you really got people sitting in there for stealing a t-shirt out of the mall, you know, out of Target, out of Walmart, yeah, whatever, you know. So this is definitely something that, and 9 out of 10 also too, Keith, something when I was doing my research, it's a lot of homeless people who are in jail because of the cash bail. I don't know, is it a law? Are you able to say that this is a law that he passed?
No, it's not a law. It's just he's telling public defenders that we won't seek cash bails. Don't seek cash bails for defendants in low-level crimes. I mean, it's pointless. Like, we're wasting taxpayers' money. We're driving up imprisonment and driving up people who are sitting in jail and overcrowding jails. For people, like you said, who stole a t-shirt, who did something so low level that, I mean, there's no need really to have you sitting in jail or to lock you up. Now, for it to be a law and for that to then pass and stuff like that, of course, it got to go to the state and then governor has to sign off on it. But this is just something that he's implementing, or that he's telling prosecutors, don't seek a bail. I mean, it's pointless if this is a low level crime.
Definitely. But what I was saying was, it's a lot of homeless people who fall under this too, because a lot of homeless people fall under the retail theft category, because they catch them stealing, or they catch them trespassing and things like, because trespassing was on there too. So they catch them stealing or they catch them trespassing, and they end up putting them in jail, and then they are not able to, they're not able to be bailed out. So that's why I really think that this is going to change, because it's a lot of people sitting in jail right now that should not be sitting in jail when they honestly just need help. Some people do the crime just to reach out for help, honestly. And that's one thing that we have to understand, that mental health is real, and putting them in jail is not always the solution. So I really think that this is going to help when it comes to the city of Philadelphia, definitely. So thank you for doing your research on that one, though, Keith. And let's go ahead and jump into North Korea and the gang.
Infamous NoCo.
That's her name, NoCo? So,
No. Oh. I mean, NoCo, short for North Korea.
Okay.
But the South Korean President Moon, reached out to U.S. saying that North Korea actually would like to sit at the table and have discussions, and that these discussions could essentially improve inter-Korea relations between North Korea and South Korea, and then also improve North Korea and U.S. relations. And this is something the Trump administration has been gunning for, is to have conversations and to be able to sit down and talk. Now, they didn't say if this would talk about denuclearization for North Korea, but just to get them to come to the table and then have discussions about what's going on, or have discussions about to ease tensions, or to at least try to find a meeting point in the middle, is something that President Moon wants to have. And North Korea is actually on the side of that and actually wants to sit down at the table with the United States to have a discussion.
So when they have this discussion, it will be all three of them. Well, all three. It will be North Korea, South Korea, and the United States.
It would be representatives from North Korea, South Korea, and United States.
So why do you think Donald Trump and the Republicans right now keep sending Ivanka out there to talk for us on our behalf? Like, why is Ivanka the one speaking for us right now?
I think for him, she's a trusted advisor. And I think for him, the fact that that's his daughter, to him, he can trust her. And she does represent the U.S. at a lot of global events and invitation and things like that. And she does represent us as America at those events. So I think for him, it's because he trusts her, like really trusts her compared to other people that who might be in the circle or who he might have.
But to me, it's like, how much political background does she have? Like, what is she doing? Is she trading lipstick secrets? Is she trading makeup secrets? Like, what is she out there really talking about? Like, how informed, how ready, how prepared is Ivanka Trump to go out there and talk to other foreign leaders? She's talking to first ladies of different countries, worldwide, global scale. She's not the first lady of America. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, how ready and prepared do you really think, and I want to know your personal opinion, Ivanka Trump really is when she goes and sit down and speak to these, you know, global leaders?
Well, I think the difference with this administration from past administrations is that previous first ladies would kind of do that ceremonial hosting type of duties. So, like, as for President Obama, it was Michelle Obama. For the Bushes, I mean, it was Lady Bush. For Bill Clinton, it was Hillary Clinton, that they would go out and just represent America, not on the political and talk about issues, but more on a diplomatic to show representation type of scale. But if you look at this administration, the first lady doesn't do any hosting or gathering unless it's like an official White House ceremony. She isn't going out representing America in London, or she isn't going out representing America at the games. She just isn't doing that. And Ivanka Trump fills that role for the first lady at this moment. So Ivanka Trump is that representation of America in a female perspective.
And that's like bonkers to me, bro. Like, I really can't get jiggy with it, because it's like, how I just want to know how prepared she is. Like, when these people ask her questions, you know, does she have cue cards? Does she have like a earpiece in there so they can feed her the knowledge that she needs to speak out? Because her dad barely knows the information. So how well does she know the information? And then her brother is lying about the information. So it's just like, how can we trust these, you know, these Trumps? Like, how can we trust them? How can we know that, like, even like how you said, like, when you had the Michelle Obamas and the Bushes and you had the Hillary Clintons going out, they were not necessarily speaking on, you know, diplomatic problems. They weren't going out and talking about different agendas that we're trying to push. If anything, they were just putting the icing on the cake, you know what I mean? Sweetening up the pie. But now it's like, she's going out there really talking about the agendas. She's going out there really trying to set up these meetings. She's going out there really, you know, speaking for us as, you know, Americans. Right now, American citizens, you know, the American government, for real. So this is really scary. Like, it's every time I see her out, I'm like, yo, why is she there? Like, we don't have, it's no one else in the administration right now that can take that spot.
Yeah, I think it's him trying to give his daughter a chance and trying to put his daughter in the spotlight of politics. And this may have been something that she expressed in him of what she wants to do. And for him, as it goes back to, that's somebody he can trust. And that he know that it give him firsthand information, not sugarcoat it. And I'm sure they, at least I would like to think, try to prep her as much as they can about what's going on, about situations, about background information, about as much as they can give her information about what she can and can't say, what she should and shouldn't say, what topics she should speak on, how she should shit, how she should act, things like that. So I think they do prep her. Now it's up to her to decide, well, am I going to go with this information or am I going to go off topic?
Man, I hope whatever she's doing, she's bringing back the actual factuals, because Donald Trump Jr. damn sure ain't do that. And that's why he, you know what I'm saying, the situation he in right now, because he's lying. He's been out there lying the whole time just to cover up the mess that his father created. And that's the scariest part to me, too, because it's like, is she out there doing the exact same thing? You know what I mean? It's really hard to just to trust the Trumps. It's hard to trust the Republicans. It's hard to trust the entire GOP. Like, it's just so much going on that you just, like, really, like, you got to really honestly pay attention to it. And if you're not paying attention to it, like, I know it's draining, but it's a must. It's definitely a must, man. It's definitely a must. So I want to get on to this before I let you go, Keith. I want to go ahead and talk about a little bit of gun control, because I know that's something you were passionate about speaking on this morning. So let's talk about a little bit about the gun control that's going on, especially with what just happened about 2 weeks ago in Florida with the school shooting.
So kind of tying gun control back into the FCC, the NRA actually presented the chairman of the FCC the Courage Under Fire Award. And what it is like a AR-15 gun that they actually put in their museum in Fairfax, Virginia. And they just wanted to thank him for showing his support for net neutrality, passing that law, and getting all those things taken care of. Now, gun control has been the biggest topic that we have had in America since all these mass shootings started to happen. And I think as Americans, we have begun to become numb of mass shootings, and that mass shootings, at least in the United States, have become an accepted part of our culture. That we know every year there's going to be mass shootings. There begins this public outcry of gun control and gun reform, and that we need to change our gun laws. But that protest or that stance only lasts for a week or 2 weeks. And then it's back to normal America until 3-4 months later, we have another mass shooting. Whether it's at the mall, whether it's at a school, whether it's at daycare, that this will happen again until something changes and we get stricter gun laws. Because as we can see it at our current state, the gun laws that we have do not do anything at all. And putting guns in teacher hands is the most ridiculous statement I've ever heard, ever. Where you want to now take guns and put them in teachers' hands who, okay, yeah, you give them self-defense shooting class, but some of these same scary teachers who wouldn't bust a grip in a food fight,
people.
Now you want to give them guns to essentially protect children? Does that make any sense to you? So, I mean,
yo.
I think that to me, the only logical stance is that we get stricter gun laws. And if you look at other countries in the world who have at least similar same populations as us, your Great Britain, your Australias, they do not experience 10 times as many mass shootings as we do, because it only correlates to one thing, is stricter gun laws. And I know a lot of people will talk about mental health as being a thing. Well, if that was the case, mental health correlation relates more to suicides, and the people who commit these crimes of mass shootings aren't to be mentally disturbed. If you look at the reports, it's not that they had mental issues. So it only leads back to one cause, is gun control.
But the thing about it is, though, Keith, is like giving a teacher a gun is probably the worst thing that you can ever do. And if you ever sit down and talk to a teacher, they will tell you teaching is the most stressful job ever. Giving a teacher a gun in a stressful position is allowing them to make a decision at any given moment in time. That is the most scariest thing ever, Keith. Honestly, truly, like, there are some students who will step to their teacher like, yo, what you going to do, for real, for real? And that teacher has the decision to make at that moment. Teachers are not someone who should be policing the schools. Teachers are someone who should be teaching and guiding in that school, not policing the school. What the hell do we have police officers for if the teachers are going to be doing their job? And, bro, let's think about it. Let's just think about the amount of beatings and police brutality we have seen by just having police in the schools. You know what I mean? Because police think that they can make decisions based on how children are reacting to the actions that they're putting out. Let's think about it. The children are reacting to your actions. You are the adult first. You are in middle schools and high schools beating kids up. You know what I mean? Videos have came out of school police officers beating up a child just trying to detain them. Are you kidding me? And they are the ones who have the training. Like, they went to the police academy. They have the training and everything like that. So to make that statement that teachers should be armed is the most scariest thing
ever, man. I do not want to send my kid to kindergarten and the teacher steps out and said, I'll be back in 2 minutes. And next thing you know, the child is in the safe box showing all the students like, yo, look what I found. You know what I'm saying? That's like everything that happens in the home.
Nah, yeah, man, but like you said, then that would be a matter of time before it became, well, a teacher now shot a student. And then what does that then conversation look like? What topic do we then have to talk about? Or you will go back to the question of, well, we have another mass shooting at a school. Where were the teachers that were on? So this whole topic of
running out the door with the students, honestly.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, like, these teachers aren't military professionals. You aren't taking the U.S. Army and the U.S. Air Force and putting them in schools and having them teach. These are everyday citizens. I mean, I'm thinking if they wanted to have guns, they probably would have joined the military or the police department if they wanted to carry guns all day long.
Facts. And then how are you going to tell a teacher to do an extra job when you're not even paying them for real to do the job that they already doing? Like, let's talk about it. How many teachers in the inner cities where all these, well, not saying that all of the mass shootings are happening in inner cities, but how many teachers in the inner cities, in the suburban communities are actually getting paid the amount of money that they should be getting paid to teach the 30 plus kids that are in their classroom? There should be about 15 to 25 students in one classroom, but we're talking about inner cities where there are 40 to 50 kids in one classroom. You know what I'm saying, Keith? Like, how can a person be able to teach, maintain a classroom, and still have to worry about all the extra things that can happen in the classroom? That is a very stressful position, and I will be damned if my child walks into a school and their teacher is armed with a gun. That is not right. That is not right, and that is not the American life that I want my child to live at all, especially if we going to categorize ourselves as Americans nowadays, right?
At all. And we need stricter gun laws. I mean, that's the end of the story.
No doubt, man. But Keith, let's go ahead and wrap it up for the people, man. I appreciate you blessing the airways each and every second and fourth Sunday of the month to get the people what they need with these actual factuals. Go ahead and shout yourself out again.
So, everybody, I'm co-founder of PLS Politics. We're a political blog that focuses on the actual factual, real facts, and trying to give you the real of what's going on in today's political world. You can follow us on Facebook and Instagram at TLS Politics. And you can follow us on Twitter at TLS Politics _. We do questions of the day on Facebook and Instagram and try to keep you up to date on the latest news that's happening in the world of politics. So follow us on Facebook at TLS Politics, on Instagram as well, and then on Twitter at TLS Politics _.
No doubt, man. Make sure you guys go do that. Support them each and every week. They put out a question of the day. They may surprise you with a poll, man. Make sure you guys engage with them, man. Keith, I love what you guys are doing. Stay blessed. TLS Politics, revive all the way, man. Stay tuned.
Yeah, take care.
No doubt, man. That wraps up another great segment with What's Buzzing here on Revive, man. Thank you guys for supporting and staying in tune and listening with me, your girl POC. It's your girl Harmony, the goddess in the building with me as well. Yo, I just learned something about FCC. I really did. I hope you guys caught that information about the FCC, because that is something that is really powerful. The net neutrality, everything that's going on, the lawmakers are really trying to control how we use the WWW, the World Wide Web. So make sure you guys inform yourself each and every day, and you can actually find an article about that on reviveisalive.com. Once again, that's reviveisalive.com. We putting out that FUBU, that message for you, by you, man, here on Revive. We're going to go to a quick commercial break. Right after this quick commercial break, we'll be speaking with Jermaine C. Gears. Work, don't eat. You work or don't eat, man. Let's get it right here on Revive Radio, man. We reviving your airways all the way up until 1 p.m. today. It's me, your girl, POC. Stay locked.
My raps are filled with rage.
One of these days, we gotta bust back for the homies.
You have to be logical. You know, if I know
In this hotel room, they have food every day. And I'm knocking on the door every day to eat. And they open the door. Let me see the party. Let me see, like, them throwing salami all over the... I mean, just, like, throwing food around. But they're telling me there's no food in here. You know what I'm saying? Every day, I'm standing outside trying to sing my way in. You know what I'm saying? We are hungry. Please let us in. We are hungry. Please let us in. After about a week, that song is going to change to we hungry. We need some food. After 2-3 weeks, it's like, you know, give me all the food. We're breaking out the door. And after years, you just like, you know what I'm saying? I'm picking the lock, coming through the door, blasting. You know what I'm saying? It's like you hungry. You reached your level. You don't want any more. We asked 10 years ago. We was asking with the Panthers. We was asking with them, you know, with civil rights movement. We was asking, you know. Now those people that were asking, they're all dead and in jail. So now what do you think we're going to do? Ask?
I put my gun away and grab my AK. It's getting hectic. I can't call it. I'm full of alcoholics. Now a nigga's under pressure.
Welcome to Revive. It's about that time. Welcome to Revive. It's about that time.
All I need is one mic.
You know what time it is. Open up your ears. You know what time it is. Open up your mind. It's about that time. It's your girl POC. Hey. It's your girl POC.
Yep, you know what time it is, man. It's Meet Your Girl POC. It's Meet Your Girl POC. We're reviving your airways all the way up until 1 p.m. today, man. Make sure you guys stay tuned, stay locked. You can listen to us live on Time for an Awakening. All you got to do is go to TuneIn. You can either download the app or go directly to the website and just search Time for an Awakening. Or you can go directly to my website, reviveisalive.com. Once again, reviveisalive.com to listen to us each and every Sunday with that good Sunday morning talk radio here on Time for an Awakening. We're reviving your airways each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you already know each and every winning Wednesday, we on here from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. So make sure you guys tune in. We have our next guest coming on the Revive platform, man. I'm really excited to be speaking with him, man. Jermaine C. Gears, how you feeling today? We working or we eating today? How you feeling?
I feel great. Thank you for this opportunity, man. It's a humble experience to be on your platform, but I feel great. I'm honored. And every day is a day to work, to put that work in. If you don't put that work in, you won't eat.
Definitely, man, and you are a great example of that, putting in that work, man. You have overcame so many different obstacles. You have inspired so many different people. You have motivated so many young youth out here. I'm excited about the work that you are doing, man. Can you go ahead and introduce yourself and tell the people exactly who you are?
Oh, definitely. My name is Jermaine Segears. I'm from Silver Spring, Maryland. I currently live in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm a motivational speaker, sports trainer, and I have a brand called Work or Don't Eat. And that brand is very spiritual. It comes from 2 Thessalonians 3:10. If any man not willing to work, let him not eat. He will starve. He will sit by the edge of the table, get the crumbs of life, or he may not get nothing. So my job every day is to live with purpose, whether I'm speaking to different youth groups, students, high schools, middle schools, putting on camps, training kids, being a pillar in the community. I'm all about positiveness. So around me, it's no other option. You're either going to put this work in, or you're not going to eat.
No doubt, no doubt. And I did not know you from Mo County. All right, I hear you. I did not know you from Mo County. I'm from Prince George's County myself. So that's amazing.
It's your
home team. What, if you don't mind me asking, what high school did you go to?
I went to BCC in Bethesda, Maryland. BCC High School is like probably south of Silver Spring Station.
No doubt. Okay, I feel you, home team. How does it feel being out there in Nevada right now?
Is, you know what? I really enjoy it because the people, the environment, the weather, it's consistent. And if you have a plan and you have a strategic plan to execute it, you can come out here and be very successful. It is an open avenue to grow. And like you know, back home, it's tough when you're crabs in the barrel, man.
Exactly.
Everybody's pulling you back. But once you get out and able to help yourself, you're able to build something special where you can go back and help other people.
No doubt, no doubt, man. I agree with you on that one. And you have put together something amazing. You know what I mean? You have put together something amazing. Can you tell us a little bit about the start of your journey and how you got to where you are now with Work or Don't Eat?
Yeah, actually, I had came home from school. I graduated from college. I came home. I was tired of working corporate job, Target, and I was a store manager. I was like, this not it. That's not the move. I want to be able to serve and do things in the community. But, you know, bills got to still get paid. But I just took a leap of faith, and I went to, like, a workshop in L.A., Tony Robbins, Unleash the Power Within. And it teach you how to control fear, how to eat healthy, how to take massive action on your goals and dreams. And I came back from L.A. from, like, 3 days, walked on fire in downtown L.A., connected with some really powerful people about just living life with passion, purpose, and being prosperous. And I came back. I left my corporate job. I went back home to Maryland, stayed with my mom and grand for a while, and just grinding from the bottom up, you know. Like, sometimes you got to take a couple steps back to be catapulted to something greater. So I went home, and I said, all right, I want to speak. I want to be passionate about speaking. I prayed to God, very spiritual. And I was on Twitter one day, and right before I was on Twitter, I had a speaking opportunity the next day, and I prayed. I said, God, man, I want to live with purpose. I want to live with passion. I want to inspire people to put that work in every day like I did, to be successful in sports and life. It helped me direct my path. And I was on Twitter, and one of my homeboys from the church, he put a scripture up there, let him not eat, and it was 2 Thessalonians. So I went to the scripture, if any man that will not work, let him not eat. And ever since I read that scripture, it was like a seed planted in my spirit. And every time I would go speak, I would write that on the board. And I would just share about my journey. And then people would be like, yo, oh, that was intense. Like, my first speaking opportunity was at Prince George's Community College.
Okay.
And yeah, when I spoke to them, I went in there, you know, rough group of kids that, you know, maybe have broken homes, you know, going through something, lost some friends and family. And I said, you know, I'll put on the board. And I was like, if any man that wouldn't work, let him not eat. And they was all like just shook, and even the coaches. And I just, by the time I finish speaking, I'm always sweating. So I know I'm doing my work if I come out sweating. So if I don't leave sweating, that's a problem. So when I did that, it just struck their spirit. And they were like, yo, I'm feeling that worker don't eat. And I would just go to the local community centers around the neighborhood, train the kids. And if they were lazy and they weren't putting that work in, I would just be like, look, if you don't put that work in, you won't eat, you won't starve. You won't sit by that edge of the table, you won't starve. Go get that plate. And the parents were like, yo, that's fire. Like, he need that. He need to understand that. And then I bought a heat press machine. I burnt about, like, 100 shirts. And my last shirt, I made it perfectly. And my grandma was like, yo, you burn a lot of shirts up in here. Like, what's up? It was, like, 3, 4 o'clock in the morning. And I made one perfect shirt. And I would wash it by hand every day. And I would go train kids. So it really started with just serving in the community. And it grew into something greater. And I would take my camera to a local little park, and I would just speak about things I was going through, and I would post on social media, and then just kept doing it, not looking for nothing, just serving. And eventually, 2 or 3 years later, you know, it caught on. Like, I had to grind for a while.
You have to grind for a while. And one thing that I love that you just said, and you didn't even, like, know that you were doing this, is that you just got started. You know what I mean? Like, and that's something that a lot of us, you know, millennials, we get sidetracked on because we don't know how to just get started. And that's why I try to bring people onto the platform to show and to tell, you know what I mean? Because a lot of people, you know how they say, I can show you better than I can tell you. And that's exactly what you are doing, Jermaine. Like, you're really showing them how to get things done. Like, you defeated something that many don't defeat, and then you are still living to tell that testimony today. And if you don't mind sharing that story, I would love for you to share that story of how you overcame and how you defeated cancer.
Yeah, most definitely. So I came to Vegas, and my brother actually played for UNLV basketball. So I came out here just to kick it with him for a couple of days. But I kept serving the community, and it was a strong need for it. So I stayed on his couch. I slept on the couch and just started trapping different schools, calling people, training. And eventually I just moved out here on faith. And when I came out here, I was just grinding. And I had some lumps on my nose before I came out here, but it started getting bigger. So I'm like, man, this is not normal, you know. You're back in the crib, you got to stay clean, stay fresh. You're like, there's something wrong with you. You got to get checked out, man. So I went to the doctor, and they was like, you know, you're fine. So I was like, nah, my nose hurt. I'm in pain. Like, after I finished training, my face swells up. Like, what's going on? So make a long story short, they did a biopsy on my nose, and it came back abnormal. They weren't sure what it was, so they had to do emergency surgery. And I was actually going to take some kids to the beach to train. I had a big camp coming up. So I was like, I can't do this surgery yet. Y'all got to fall back. They were like, no, you need to fall back because we got to do this. So they did the surgery on my birthday. A week later, November 2016, a week later, about the 15th of November 2016, I went back to get my stitches removed. He was like, hey, Jermaine, how you feeling? I feel great. He was like, man, I'm sorry we didn't catch it earlier. What you mean? He was like, you got cancer, and we got seen to an oncologist. So, you know, 29-year-old athletic person who works hard, trained, Now all of a sudden I'm faced with cancer and I have to go through 5 rounds of intense chemo in the hospital 7 days straight. And that's the part that really crushed me. Like, I was like, my heart just dropped. Like, I got to be in the hospital for 7 days straight, 5 times. Like, that don't even make sense. So a 6-month period of in and out the hospital, being very sick, weak, you know, energy, just basically like a caterpillar shell. When he gets that butterfly, like, I'm that shell just sitting there, you know, just grinding, staying faithful. But I did that. I did radiation. And throughout that whole journey, I would just document it and share it with the world, because somebody always has the worst. And that inspires me to not allow my circumstances to stop me from continually working and grinding and staying around positive people. And that was what I was always speaking to the kids about, putting that work in. So I had to put the work in to defeat cancer. And that's what it was in August of 2017. You know, I was cancer free. So I went a full year almost just battling that sickness. And now I'm an advocate for cancer awareness, not just for lymphoma cancer, but for all cancers. And to not let that cancer defeat you. Use the cancer. Don't let cancer use you.
No doubt. No doubt. No doubt. And one thing I love about the story is because to me, it seems, and this is from the outside looking in, and please correct me, but to me, it seems like your program also helped you through that. Like, your kids, the kids that you were coaching, the kids that you were training, I feel like helped you through that, gave you that passion and that motivation that you were giving to them. In return, they gave it right back to you, you know, when you were going through everything that you were going through. And, like, I even seen on one of your Instagrams where the child has your logo, you know, tatted, biggest day on their back. I'm like, that is inspiring, you know what I mean? So how does that feel like when you get that return motivation and that, you know, inspiration coming from the same people who you're trying to inspire and motivate at the same time?
I think when you are organic and you're genuine, you're real, you're passionate, and there's no filters, and they could just see right to your spirit, and they see through your eyes that, man, he's passionate about serving and motivating, inspiring, teaching, and just being all in to develop our youth. People, they're attracted to that, and they engage at a high level. And the frequency they operate on is the frequency you're putting out. So if you're putting out passion, you're putting out purpose, you're putting out value, you're pouring into their lives, they have no other choice but to pour back into your life. Not because they owe you something, but you have them operating on that level. So if you start to operate on that level with your energy, your law of attraction, your positive like purpose, and just being all in for just growth, then they are already growing to seek you. And they're growing to support you as you go through this journey, because it's like you share the hunger, the sacrifices, and go through those dark moments with them. And now you're going through a dark moment. And they're like, man, Coach talks about this, but he's actually living it. And if we can do anything to support him, if we can even hear him speak, if we can just be in the room of him, man, we're a part of something greater than ourselves. So I think it all becomes with the energy that you put out, that they receive it in a way where it's like, man, it's food for my spirit. So when I say work or don't eat, they all in to get that plate.
Definitely, man. I'm with you on that one. And the thing about it is, too, is that, you know, even though you're teaching them, you know, athletic skills and you're helping them, you're still building these young men into becoming men, you know what I mean, adults. You're building them to becoming courageous. You're building them to become fearless, you know what I mean. You're teaching them a whole different part of the game while you're still teaching them the game. And how would you say they are receptive to it? I know you said that as long as the relationship is organic, they're willing to learn, but how would you say they're receptive to them? Do you feel like you have to start where they are, or can you just start where you are and then they start to come up to where you are?
Just start where you are. Like, it doesn't matter what level they are at, you know, spiritually, mentally, in their life, just hold on to being able to be greater. And I think what happens is a lot of people, they just think that they have to have everything perfect, but it will never be perfect. You got to start where you are and help these kids develop and grow and be prosperous. So I just look at it as I use my resources, like, you know, social media or the coaches or events or just getting out in the community and serving. And then when you do that, it doesn't matter. You're showing that you're real. You don't need nothing in return. You just being you. And they love people who are genuinely here to support them and help them. And it takes a lot to raise a village. Everyone has to come together. And I think with me being able to have a unique platform to train, to share life skills, to motivate, to inspire these kids, is more than just about basketball. It's about he believes in me and he wants to see me succeed. And that's it.
No doubt. No doubt. And then how would you say, well, actually, what can a person expect or get out of one of your camps? How about you let us know that? How can a person, what can a person get out of the camps? Like if they join one of your camps, what can a student actually get out of it?
Most definitely. Well, I kick off camp with just motivational speaking. And a lot of times I don't even say it as motivational speaking. I teach it as I'm a teacher and I'm an influencer and I'm a youth advocate. So I'm pouring life into their mind, their spirit. So by the time I finish speaking to them for the first, 20, 30 minutes of camp, their spirit is renewed. Their spirit is enlightened. They're ready to basically go to war for their passion, their gifts. They're ready to attack the day in a way that can achieve greater. And they know that it won't be easy. They know there's going to be struggles. They know there's going to be pain. They know there's going to be sacrifices. But man, my passion, my gifts are greater than what I go through. So I'm going to go through this grind at this camp and learn how to train intent. I'm going to get the great mentorship where I'm going to have coaches believing in me and teaching me the skill development. I'm going to be a part of a family, of Worker Don't Eat, that he's passionate about leading us. I'm going to be a part of something that's going to help my skills. I'm going to be a part of something that's going to help me mentally grow, spiritually grow. And when I leave here, I'm going to have a game plan to know how to achieve my greater in every aspect of my life and a resource where they can now reach out to me and talk to me about things personally. They can hit me up on my Instagram, my website, they can text me, they can call me. Now they have a lifeline. They can call and they can they can reach out to me, and I'm organic where I'm still going to call you. I'm still going to text you. I'm not going to get that big in my life or where I'm going that I will forget you, because I'm pouring into you and I got to be faithful to my flock.
Definitely. And would you say that the motivation came or the motivation comes from, just your everyday life, or is it coming from past experiences that you have dealt with yourself?
It's both. It's coming from everything I've been through. And I was talking to a team yesterday. I was speaking to them. I was like, you got to live in the present moment. Like, you can think about a moment in the past, but you're still thinking about that moment in the present moment. You can think about the future, but you're still thinking about it in that present moment. But you can take a feeling, a pain, you could take something you learned from the past, and you can snatch it from the past and give you some powerful motivation, some powerful authority over your greatness. And I think a lot of times I take things I've been through and share it with people. And I also go through things daily, every day. Like, the devil's always working, so you got to continue to direct your energy to share what you're going through, because everything is going to always help you share something to uplift someone. So I take the past things and things I'm going through right now, and I also create new content where I can just mold it all together and build something powerful.
Blessed, man. You sound like a blessed young man, for real, for real. Like, I love it, definitely. So I want to hear your opinion on this too, man, because this story just came out, and
right,
everything about the NCAA. I just want to hear your personal opinion about this, right? How do you feel about the NCAA exploiting amateur athletes? Like, how do you feel about that? Because, like, let's just think about it. The NCAA is a business. It's a it's actually a nonprofit organization that is making profits, right? So how do you feel about that? Someone who is training, amateur athletes to actually become student athletes in the game and being part of the NCAA. Like, how do you feel about that, being a spectator and also a trainer?
Well, definitely. As a former Division I athlete, I think that we invest, as athletes, we invest our time, our energy, our efforts. We're doing all the work. And at the end of the day, these schools, the NCAA, these coaches, everyone's getting paid off of exposing us. Yes, we do get education. Yes, we do get to, play basketball. We work so hard to get to that level. But everything depends on us, and everything that's received is given to people who don't actually experience what we've been through. Some people grow up in broken homes. Some people have to put hours and hours in perfecting their craft just to get a scholarship to play, basketball. And I think a lot of times we get a little stipend to pay, a few bills here and there. And majority of the kids who do get, $600 or $700 a month, that money is going home to their family to help them. So a lot of times they don't see that money because they're in school, they're playing ball, food is, free. But I think college athletes should get paid. I think it has to be something done so they can be compensated for their time, their energy. Because like I said, their family is struggling back home, and they're putting their body at jeopardy. Like, a lot of kids are ACL turn their ACL. They're just getting caught up in situations where, how does it benefit me besides basketball? And we don't all make it to the NBA, you know? So I think college players should get paid, and there should be something worked out because everybody else getting paid. And I think that at the end of the day, if those players are on the court, nobody gets paid. So they need to figure it out because this is being exposed more and more every day. And I said that since day one. Athletes should get paid.
And I agree with you on that one, man. And then you have to think about it. You got people like LaVar Ball who's coming in and changing the entire way, you know what I mean, making people think like, yo, there is a way out. There's a different lane that we can create. There's a different way that we can take this. How do you feel about, you know, LaVar Ball and everything that he's doing with, you know, with the Mellows? And he's just saying, you know what, forget this. We're going straight overseas. We're going to become professional athletes overseas. How do you think about that?
I agree with LaVar Ball because a lot of people don't realize in Europe, a lot of these kids are turning pro at 13, 14, 15 years old, but no one has an issue with that. And they come play in the NBA, you know, when they're like 18, 19, but they've been playing pro for about 4 or 5 years already. But in our culture in the United States, where the NCAA has a program, has a structure where as a top player, are they going to come through college first? They're going to help us make money. They're going to help us grow our brand, and they're going to go to the NBA. No, and then all of a sudden, when you go against the grain and you want to create something different like LaVar's doing, he's getting a lot of backlash. But a lot of times, you're going to get backlash for things that are really the right way to do things. And I think LaVar has something he's doing really phenomenal. And if he has the right structure, the right foundation, it can be more powerful than the NCAA, and more players that are high level will go play in that league.
And that's honestly, truly a fact. And I feel like LaVar Ball is really going to change the game because let's just think about it. He took his 16-year-old son out of high school and sent him across the waters to go play. He's now a professional baller. You know what I mean? He took he took his middle son out of his freshman year at UCLA and said, you know what, we don't need UCLA. We're going to go become professional players now. And then he's still going to do exactly what you're saying. They're going to play, you know, some professional ball overseas, and then they're going to try to throw them back into the draft in the NBA to see how they can perform as professional athletes in the NBA. So I definitely think that that's really going to change the game when it comes to the NCAA. It's really going to change the game. And I think that it's also going to affect when it comes to football, too, because football is going to start to, you know, create their own lanes to how, you know, how they're being treated when it comes to being played in being players of the NCAA. I'm sorry. So I think this is really going to really going to affect their dollars. And once it starts to affect their dollars, I think that's when they're going to start to wake up just a little bit more. Definitely, because once it starts to affect it, it's going to be like, yo, hold on. We got to catch up. We got to stay billionaires. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
The NCAA is definitely a nonprofit organization that is making profit, and that is something that, you know, people who are knowledgeable about is ready to expose now, especially even the coaches. And I want to ask you this last question. How do you feel about coaches who are taking, you know, different bribes and different sponsorships for players but not necessarily giving them the profit that the coaches are now profiting on?
Well, first and foremost, college coaches that are at that higher level, the top 25 teams, they're getting ridiculous contracts. Like, they're getting like $3, $4, $5 million, sometimes $10 million. Like, they're getting, you know, ridiculous amounts. And that's for the low end. High end athletes, high end college coaches are getting somewhere between $50 million. Like, it's ridiculous.
Crazy
what they're getting. 10-year contracts. And if they get fired, they still get like 85% of that contract. And then a college player is getting, you know, education, a few hundred bucks and some sneakers. And, you know, you keep working on that court. But I'm like, really? Like, end of the day, these college coaches and these top prospects are doing a lot of things that may be frowned upon. But at the end of the day, when you put boundaries on these players and they're still struggling from these families, their families, and you got college coaches with all this money, they're trying to do something to get these kids to commit to this school in exchange, giving to the AAU coach or giving to their parents or giving it to, you know, the coaches. It's so many hands in the mix where it becomes oversaturated with just negative people who don't have the best interest. So I tell a lot of athletes, keep your circle tight and live with integrity and morals. And you know, if something's not right, don't do it. And you don't need to be around coaches that move like that. You know, you got to move in a way where you're going to be prosperous long after the game is done.
No doubt. And Do you actually teach a little bit of financial literacy in your programs for these student athletes, you know, before they become, you know, actual student athletes and become a part of the NCAA? Do you teach them a little bit about financial literacy and what's wrong and what's right, what they should take, what they shouldn't take, who they should speak to, who they shouldn't speak to, and things like that?
Most definitely. A lot of times I focus on integrity and your morals. And then we talk a little bit about financial literacy, not so much about, you know, getting money to snap, because that goes back to our integrity and morals. We're not going to do anything that's going to jeopardize your integrity or your morals and what you stand for and your core values. And our core values are about being excellent individual men and young ladies that are kings and queens. So we don't do anything that's going to come back and haunt us. And secondly, when you talk about financial literacy, I definitely add value to my life, read a lot of books, whack and slow walk a lot of my athletes with simple things like assets and liabilities or the four quadrants of cash flow, which awesome. I learned in a phenomenal book by Robert Kiyosaki, Business of the 21st Century. And it talks about the cash flow of you know, employed, self-employed, business owner, and investor. And I think a lot of times we don't take the time to teach kids that type of information, where they don't understand it and they get stuck in being an employee. And even employees still being a professional athlete, you don't own that business. So I think a lot of times we have to understand how we can make money work for us and not always work for money.
No doubt. And I agree with you on this one. And last question before we wrap up, because we are over time. But at my last question, right, with everything that's going on in the mix of, you know, politics and everything like that, and then you now have athletes who are now, you know, jumping into that category and speaking up and speaking out about the different things that are affecting us in our everyday lives. How do you feel about that? You know, by you training different athletes, you being an athlete yourself, you know, you're watching and you're coaching different people. How do you feel about that when you think of athletes jumping into politics? Do you think that athletes should just be athletes, or do you think they should talk and speak up about different political issues that's going on and surrounding them and their everyday communities that they came from?
We're living in a world that's growing extremely with technology and social media, and I think athletes have a voice just like any other person has a voice. God gave us a voice to speak and share our purpose, share our past, share our pain. You can agree to disagree. That's what my grandmother always told me. It's okay to agree to disagree, but it's not, I'm not going to sit here and be quiet and allow people that of color or of any color be, you know, affected in a negative way. I think that with social media being so powerful, and let's say Kevin Durant, he has over, you know, 10 million followers. If he has all those people believing him and supporting him and are inspired by him, and if he feels that his people are not being treated equally, he's going to speak up, because his followers, they support him. His followers need to hear his voice. And like I said, if Martin Luther King or Malcolm X, those guys were around this time and they had social media, trust and believe, they will be speaking up. And the athletes around that time, like Bill Russell, they were close. Muhammad Ali, they were close with them. And you imagine if they had platforms, they would be speaking. So what has changed from them to the athletes now? Obviously, there's a misconnection, because though they have passed on, but we have to be here to pass that torch on and see how we can add value and fight for equality and rights for our people. Even Colin Kaepernick, like, look what he's doing. You know, he has to fall back and fail and be on this road of, man, they're treating me so bad because what I'm doing is so right. So I think you have to speak up. You have to share your voice. And if people don't have the platform that a lot of these athletes have, it's imperative that we use our platforms at that higher level to speak for the generation of the nations that are here and they are coming after us.
No doubt, man. And that's a hell of a way to end the show, man. I appreciate you, Jermaine. But before we let you go, I definitely want you to give yourself a shout out. Tell the people how they can find you. If they're interested in being a part of one of your camps, how they can join. Definitely let the people how they know they can stay in contact with you.
Most definitely. They can go to workordonteat.com. Just like how it sounds, work, W-R-K, O-R-O-R. Don't, D-O-N-T, eat, E-A-T.com, work or don't eat. All the social media is the same, at work or don't eat, all together. They want to reach me via email. It's info@workordonteat. And we're hungry to serve, motivate, inspire these kids. We're always doing things in the community, from camps to leaderships to workshops to just empowering these young athletes and students to understand the work they have to put in to achieve their greater. If they don't put that work in, they won't eat. God bless you. Thank you for Revive, for allowing me on your show. And I send in peace, prosperity, productiveness, and love to you guys. And be powerful in all that you do, and continue with purpose.
No doubt, man. I appreciate you, Jermaine. I have the same exact words and sentiments to you, man, because I really, really love what you are doing. I love, love, love what you're doing. I love the fact that you're emoting young men into actual men. Like, you're putting that force behind them. You're giving them that example that they need, and you're definitely putting out that move that's definitely starting a movement. So I appreciate you. And you part of the home team, so that makes it even better.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely, man. So I wish you many blessings in your future endeavors as well, and I definitely want to stay connected. I'm trying to come out the West Coast and see you one time.
Come on out here. River don't eat out Vegas. So, you know, we always look forward to meeting people and connect with people. Everybody's always hit me up. You know, in Vegas, I'm coming out there. So hit me up.
Awesome, man. That gives me a reason to come out there without gambling. Definitely. I'm with it right now. Definitely. Have a good one, Jermaine.
You too. Bye-bye.
Man, that just wraps up another great interview here on Revive, man, speaking to Jermaine Seegears. I'm actually going to play one of his motivational videos to take us out here on Revive today, man. Thank you for everyone who listened and supported us here on Revive Radio this Sunday, man. Each and every Sunday, we blessing your airways here on Time for an Awakening. Make sure you guys tune in each and every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Meet your girl POC is Reviving Airways. You can catch us here each and every Wednesday from 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. We blessing your airways, Reviving Airways. Make sure you guys give us a call, 215-490-9830. It's Meet Your Girl POC. We gonna wrap it up. Yay. Hey Harmony, how you feeling?
Living in peace, not pieces. Just remember to live in peace, not pieces. And you can definitely follow me on social media at Harmony the Goddess, or email me if you are looking to get a massage. Check out Remedy Spa and Wellness, definitely.
No doubt, man. Thank you for everybody who tuned in and support, man. You already know what time it is. We be back live on Monday. DG Radio, tune in. 8 p.m. We reviving your airways. It's Meet Your Girl, POC.
Fire.